Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Bowhunter Chronicles podcast, brought to you by Huntworth. Huntworth gear for all types of weather, all types of terrain, all types of budgets. It's clothing that just works. Check them out at huntworthgear.com. So now we're getting ready for Total Archery Challenge, turkey hunting. I hope everybody's out shooting their bows, getting everything sighted in. We got our Patreon group doing their tailgate ready challenge. We're going to be doing that giveaway with Travis to give away a set of Kanadi arrows. We actually just got our arrows in this week. I'm going to pick up the lift tomorrow, or when this comes out today, I guess. So we'll have that lift. We've got the strings. We've got all the sights, rest, everything from Redline, all that stuff. So we're going to get building those bows and shooting that. And really excited to see how this project shapes up. Those Kanadi arrows are pretty slick. We're using the aluminum half outs on the K1s. And for my arrows, they're like 462 grains. So they're a little bit lighter than my hunting arrows, but they're pretty darn close. One of the hunting arrows that I have was right almost exactly at 500 grains. So a little bit lighter, but these things, real excited to get out there and shoot them, get it sighted in, and see how they fly. So no further ado, we're going to get right into this podcast talking about bow strings. But of course, we can't do that without mentioning our partners and doing our Patreon giveaway here shortly. It'll be actually, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, it'll be tonight. We're going live on Instagram at 9 p.m. Eastern to give away all this great stuff. Huntworth, Latitude. So Latitude, you can use code BHC to save 15%. Big Shot Targets, they give away one of their smaller targets. We've actually got three of those at our Bowman's Club dinner, a couple of raccoons and some woodchucks, but they've got armadillos. They've got all sorts of them. They've got some Halloween ones, super cool targets. And you can save 10% over there by using code BCP. Lucky Buck, you can get some seed or some Lucky Buck if you're in an area that you can use that. Kanadi gives away a set of their arrows. Genesis 3D. I'll see if I can get something. Austin has some really cool stuff coming out, especially if you're using a 360 camera. So be on the lookout for that. We're going to do a podcast with him pretty soon. He's got his new studio set up. He's got his new building where they're going to be able to actually have a dedicated space outside of their home just for that. So they're working on that shop. Pretty excited about that. One of those Flambeau Formula bow cases, we're going to give away one of those. And then for some of our guys going out west for that Patreon bear hunt, I've got some gear from Alpine Innovation. So super, excited for that. Check in there and we'll kind of update what we've got going on. But yeah, this podcast talking about strings. So if you're like me, when I first started this podcast, before I started getting way into the actual mechanics behind bows, I thought strings were strings. What's the big deal? I did have a bow blow up on me from lack of maintenance. So that tells you how much I paid attention to my strings. So I think there's some real good information in here for guys who maybe are like me and they just think about like, well, I'm just a bow hunter. I only use my bow this certain amount of times a year or whatever. What do I need to do to make sure that this one's going to last me? Or why would I want to pay the money for a better set of strings? So all that is outlined in this podcast, and I'm sure you guys are going to love it. As always, thanks for listening. All right, everybody, Adam back with another episode of the Bow Hunter Chronicles podcast. And today we're going to be talking about, I feel like it's one of the most important things, but maybe one of the most overlooked from a novice or average consumer standpoint, is bow strings. And so if you've been following along with the podcast for any period of time, you know that, you know, John's been making our strings when he's not too busy, when he had time, when he didn't do anything at home. He said, you know, I'm going to get into this. And, you know, as time has gone on, it's been like, oh, we need to get some strings. We need to do this. And we haven't really talked to anybody about strings or anything like that. We've just kind of taken John's word for it that he knows what he's doing. So we brought in an expert today. We got Bryant Lyne from America's Best Bow Strings, as well as Helix Broadheads, to talk about kind of some of the newer stuff that they're doing there. So how are you doing today, Bryant?
I'm good, man. Thanks very much for having me on. I certainly appreciate it. We had some storms roll through last night a little bit. I had to get some rest, and I'm ready to jam.
Perfect. So, and we got to give a big thank you to Bryant. You know, we just did the podcast that actually launched today about comparing our two bows, a very inexpensive bow with, I guess, what I would consider, you know, John has his nerdy stuff about what's the market standard for bows. But I always feel like everybody looks at Matthews and says that, you know, that's what we're trying to catch, right? Catch us if you can. And, you know, they did a very good job at marketing. And so we wanted to compare those two, but it's almost impossible to compare them apples to apples with the same strings. I've got a 2-year-old bow out there that the string is shredded and twisted, and
the original string.
And John, he's one of these guys who gets a new bow and just throws a new string on it right out of the gate. So we can get into all that, but when I got a hold of Bryant, he said, we're in. Absolutely. We'll send you some strings so we can make this a fair fight. So, you know, just thank you guys for that, you know, because, you know, putting a $200 string on a $500 bow is, you know, for most people would think that that's ridiculous. So we appreciate that. But for you, let's go a little bit into your history and how did you wind up with the position that you're in with ABB?
Yeah. And real quick, just kind of piggybacking there, you know, yeah, we're happy to do that. I thought it was a really cool idea. And it's always good to get some product testing on that because it also lets us know what we're doing, you know, like what is our strings doing compared on variable models. So I'm really excited to see how that goes for you guys this year. But as far as myself, I am the Vice President of Sales and Marketing here at America's Best Bow Strings and Helix Broadheads. I just entered my 7th year. I've been here 7 years now with the company. Started back in 2017, I believe it was. Started in sales. I have a pretty good sales background. I worked for a local Harley-Davidson dealership on their frontline parts sales, working my way up there through major customization parts projects for bikes. So my sales background has been there for quite some time, done that for several years. And I saw, you know, an ad that they were looking for a salesperson out here. And I was very intrigued by it because I've been, you know, hunting and fishing since I've been a little kid, and I always loved it. And the thought of being able to go and work in the industry was certainly exciting to me. And so I applied, A couple interviews later, I got the job, and I've just kind of been here doing this since. I started in sales and then started, I took over the marketing side of things here for the company and just have continued to grow that and make, work on the brand awareness, getting the product out there to look like, you know, we believe is a top end product here, on the string side of things, but also just overall on the archery side. And then of course we acquired Helix Broadheads just a couple of years ago and took that on as well. And then just here most recently, I got promoted into the sales, the vice president of sales as well. So I've taken over the sales side of things, for the company here as well.
So when you started, or when you went into this and you said, okay, I'd like to be in the outdoor industry. Okay, here's a bowstring company. As a consumer or as an avid hunter and fisherman, all that outdoorsman will say, what was your take on strings? Like, where did that enter your psyche? How far were you along in the journey?
So to be completely honest, I got a compound bow, my first compound bow, the year prior to working here. Just as a kid, I used what I could, and most of the time it was shotgun season here in Ohio. And then I bought my dad's old Horton, just to be able to go out in our archery season here. And so I bought an old Horton, Yukon, or no, it was a Horton Dakota SL, was what I had. I started with a crossbow there and then finally got my first compound bow, and honestly didn't know much about strings. I knew that this company was out here and that they did custom strings. I didn't know a whole heck of a lot about it. I just know that I was excited by the idea of getting in the industry, working here. Everybody seemed great when I came in for interviews, and I've always heard great things about the company. So coming into here, I honestly, my knowledge of strings was like nil, nothing. And I wasn't so much in a deep dive because, you know, social media, I think at the time was still fairly newer for like our industry. You know, you didn't have a whole heck of a lot of influencers in there. You had your TV people that were doing it. And so you kind of knew what they were pushing. You would see what they were pushing on like Outdoor Channel and stuff like that. I heavily followed Cameron Haynes, around that time. Like, he kind of got the wheels going on getting a compound and like seeing all these different things, the cool things that a compound archer can do. And I was an athlete by nature. So Cameron Haynes was one of the guys that I was following around very early on with it. But coming back to the company, you know, getting here, I can tell you that I know so much more now as far as strings and a lot of other things, you know, about, you know, what we do here, that sometimes it can be mind numbing when I'm talking to somebody else about the product.
So from a consumer standpoint, or from a marketing standpoint, or sales, even when you got into it, like, where do you think there's the biggest, I guess, like, knowledge deficit, I guess, from the actual consumer? Because one of the things you said when you knew that the company was out there and what they did is you said they did custom strings. And I think that to me, from the outside looking in, is more what I thought, like, quote unquote, custom strings were. Like, not that there was better performance, but you see a guy with a blue and white string or a pink string or something, and you're like, this guy must be like incredibly vain or something. Mm-hmm. Like, everything has to match. And I thought more of it as like a stylistic thing, kind of from like your background there with Harley Davidson, right? So everybody mm-hmm. wants their bike to be their bike. They just want it yep. to be their style. And some of that bolt-on crap isn't necessarily for performance. It's just for look at me, look at me. And I think
aesthetic.
Yeah. And that's kind of how, I guess, going into it, when you say custom strings, like, that's what I think of as a custom string. So, like, John, from your standpoint, Mr. Neon Green for the longest time, find his influences in there, if you will. But how did you view bowstrings before you went down the road into making your own?
Well, I mean, I knew that obviously, like, the cheaper bows, you know, the economical bows came with a cheaper set of strings. The Matthews came with the zebra twist or whatever, and I never really cared for those strings. But I didn't look at it like you did. I mean, I knew that there was a performance difference, you know, especially working on bows, you know, pretty much my whole adult life. You know, they'd stretch, twist. I mean, there's a reason why, like, some companies send it with the peep, with the surgical tubing on it to keep it straight. I mean, so, you know, I mean, I knew there was a difference, but.
Yeah. So for you, like, where do you think is the biggest, like, knowledge gap to the average consumer or to the guy that is to going in to just buy a bow off the shelf?
For the average consumer, I'll say this. I think most everybody is doing more research nowadays, whether it's through Google, whether it's through YouTube or social media. They get on and they check it. You want to check out the product really before you buy. People are doing more due diligence on what is what. You will still have your people out there that are influenced by, hey, you know, I got three buddies that are shooting that product and they tell me how great it is. I'm just going to go get that product. I would say that most people are more knowledgeable now on especially on strings. People do a lot of digging on that. And in most cases, people will call us and tell us about all these things, you know, and it's like, yeah, you're right. You know, and then there's this and this, but I would say the biggest thing is, I think more it's the sticker shock. Somebody looks at it and they go, oh my gosh, that's that much, you know, there's strings already on the bow brand new from the factory. I can just shoot those. But really, what it comes down to is this is what we do every day is build high-end performance-driven strings. And by doing that, we starting in 2006 and working our way all the way up to this point in 2024, we're constantly driven by trying to build the best possible bow string that we can for bow hunters and archers, because that's what we, at the end of the day, that's what we do as well. We're out there shooting our bows. We're out there in the fall chasing, you know, whitetails and elk and mule deer and, you know, you name it. That's what we're out there doing. So you don't want to have equipment that's faulty. So like I said, you see that sticker shock and you kind of go, well, you see the price tag and you're just like, that's too much. But really when you break it down, we build strings almost to a science that's going to give you optimum performance for your bow. I really think that's what it comes down to, is it's real easy to see a price tag and a sticker shock and not really know what the difference is. And it just really is that these are more performance driven just due to the fact of how we build them. In most cases, an OEM manufacturer is going to, they're just going to have a string built cheaply because obviously there's a price that goes into that. And so they're trying to figure out how it works for their price. And they're taking, you know, maybe a cheaper material from the fiber to the servings, and then they're building it as quickly as they can, so there's less into it. You know, like I said, we spend our entire day building a string set, you know, going, you know, through the line and making sure that it hits everything that it needs to hit for optimum performance for that end customer.
That's I was, you know, thinking, you know, you think of a bow company, any of them, they're putting out, say they're building 1,000 bows, they're not putting that much time into building the string. It's going to hit a spec. They're going to be like, oh, yep, it's within spec, and put it on the bow, ship it out.
Yep.
You know, they're not paying attention to, I mean, like you guys, you're obviously, you're wrapping it, you're stretching it, checking it all. I mean, probably to the, I mean, the micro where the, you know, the big bow companies, they don't, I mean, I'm sure that they could do that, but then they're going to drive the price up that bow. I mean, or order it from, you know, say a company like you, like, we're just putting ABB strings on all of our bows from now on. But then now your price is going to go up for the consumer. And I think the, in the past, it's always been like the target archers, 3D guys, those guys paid attention to it because they're shooting their bow. You know, especially at the high level, they're shooting their bows, you know, 1,000 arrows, you know, every other day. You know, it's where the bow hunters were like, yep, my string's good. It doesn't have any frays, or even if it does, that's still good. You know, I'm going to go out and shoot my bow, you know, three times and I'm in the paper plate. We're good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So from that, when you and John, I guess you kind of outlined it because, like I said, you're stretching it. You're doing all this stuff multiple times that I've seen it and we've outlined it. But for a company like ABB, and like I told you in the, you know, before we recorded, like that's, it's a, you're going to work for a company you signed up and now you're the marketing, you know, VP sales, all this, these things of America's best bowstrings, like a very bold statement. So from any of the companies that are out there, like, is it all material driven? Is there different science behind it? Is it, you know, attention to detail or, you know, standard deviations that makes one string better than another? Even, and you can talk about it even like within your line, but at some point there's a physics component to it, right? So there's going to, there has to be, and I guess it's a bad thing and it's not a good marketing plan, but there has to be some sort of ceiling as to how good you can get, just like why we don't have 400 feet per second bows, right? You know, so what sets one string apart from another one when you get into a high-end maker like yourself?
What sets apart what we do, and I'll speak to mostly what we do. There's countless other companies and people out there that can build a string, have access to build a string, and everybody has their own sauce, their own way to do it. And that's great. And, you know, we commend anybody that's out there, you know, trying to do that. As far as America's Best Bowstrings, it really, you know, our owner, Jerry Mullet, when he started, he had a pro shop and he was a 3D shooter. And so he was going to IBO events with a couple other guys that in a core group, you know, years ago. And they were just really trying to figure out how they could get a competitive edge over a lot of others, you know, and he really thought that the bowstring was the main place to really look at how you can upgrade performance on a bow, especially in a tournament setting. And so from there, just by starting and just trying different things, was able to really come up with, our premium ultra string now.
Are you overwhelmed by the hundreds of food plot mixes out there? Well, you are not alone. And Vitalize Seed has developed a program that takes the guesswork out of food plotting. Vitalize makes it simple with their two core mixes, Nitro Boost and Carbon Load. Nitro Boost is their spring-summer food plot mix, and Carbon Load is for planting in the fall, each having a diverse mix of over a dozen seed types that are highly attractive to whitetail. Food plotting made simple. Each mix provides necessary nutrients to the soil, making for better plots each season. This also saves you money by needing less Roundup and fertilizer every year. The 1-2 system simplifies your food plots just how nature intended. And for the more advanced habitat managers, Vitalize also offers a variety of natural amendments with products like their seed feed that offer seeds immediately available minerals ready as soon as they germinate. Make biology work for you. Order now at vitalizeseed.com.
Was really, if you go back through time in 2006 when he started making these strings, that premium line is really where it started. And it's still kind of in our lineup today as we go, you know, with our premium ultra. It's still very similarly built, but with just some different tweaks. But we really kind of, everybody can get their fiber from the same supplier. You're either getting it from BCY, which is probably where most string makers are getting their fiber. They're getting either from BCY. I know Bloodline's out there. There are some builders that are using Bloodline material. I think there's Brownell. There may be a couple other ones out there, but really, if we look at the main one, it's BCY fiber. So we all get our fiber from the same place. No matter what, we all have access to the same fiber. Really what we do is it is kind of comes down to methods. How do we, you know, we have kind of our secret sauce to certain things, but it's just how we build it and what we find through just, you know, cross engineering and some different things like that we can find performance gains, we can find durability gains, stability overall in the bowstring set, eliminating peak twists, you know, finding ways that you apply a serving to where it holds, you know, that serving is going to hold. It's not going to stretch or move or, you know, shot after shot. So it just really comes down to how each builder finds their best method to build, that can be streamlined and work well. And in it, it's a proven process. I mean, really, that's what it comes down for ABB. It's just how we build it, how well we train our people. You know, when we have new people come in, we want to make sure that they're building, you know, the same way that, you know, somebody else in a different side of the line is going to be building it. Everybody's trained to be able to do the same thing. So it's repetitive. And again, it's just completely stable as it leaves the string, as it leaves the building.
So
I hope that answered that in a roundabout way.
Yeah. And then how does that translate to, you know, so we, John was talking about, you know, target archers, 3D archers, you know, these guys who shoot their bow tons and tons and tons. And then we've got the other guys who say, okay, well, you know, I'm going to get it out, dust it off a, you know, week before the season, we're still on, good enough. What are we looking at for, I mean, what is a rule of thumb for an average guy and a target archer both for longevity or string life, whether that's X amount of shots or X amount of years, and then like the most important things for maintenance, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that is a great question. There are a lot of variables to that question. I think for most tournament archers, most target archers, they're shooting almost every day, and they're probably putting at least, I would bet, about 100 shots in a day at the minimum. I mean, I would bet 100 shots. So you count that up over the week, you got 500 shots in a week. You do that over the course of time. Obviously, that adds up really quick. So they're putting more, they're testing those strings out more. And so their lifespan on a string set might not be as much as a bow hunter who gets his bow out and say, when the weather turns, you know, here, like I'm in Ohio, you know, it's kind of cruddy weather right now. I'm not really going to get, I'll shoot my bow indoors, or I'll go to one of the, you know, one of our local shops that has an indoor range, and I'll shoot there a little bit. But I'm not getting outside and getting more shots in until probably about May, June. And then as we get closer to season, you know, around August, September, I'm going to start putting some more practice in. You know, there. So as a bow hunter, I say it's how well you maintain it, where you store it. If you're putting any string wax on there, you don't need to coat the string in a ton of wax. I mean, just very light coats of wax helps to preserve a fiber. And so as far as longevity, I would say a tournament archer is probably going to go through, in most cases, they probably go through a set of strings, especially in tournament season. They'll probably have 2-3 sets of strings, depending on how much they're going through it. I would say for the most part, our archers, our staff, their tournament shooters, they might go through 2 sets of strings in a year, depending on how much they shoot. As far as a bow hunter, you could probably get as far as what we recommend is every year you want to take a look at your strings. You always want to take it and be sure that everything looks good as far as your servings, the fiber around the peep sight. You want to make sure your poundage is still good from when the strings were first put on. You don't want to be losing poundage. So it's good to do maintenance just, you know, every year, no matter what, even if the strings look pristine and you've only shot 10 times last year, you know, or whatever, since they've been on. But I would say in most cases, it should last you at least 2 to 3 years on a new string set if you're putting enough reps in it. If you're only shooting that string and shooting that bow a couple times a year, you could get 8-10 years out of it. I mean, we've had people tell us they've had a string that lasted them 8 years, but they just kept it maintained in a bow safe. And you know, they maintained it. They put a little string wax on it, you know, every now and again, and it's worked out fine for them.
I mean, like, you shouldn't keep your bow in the back seat of your car in the middle of July when it's like 150 degrees.
We've had people test that out on some of our strings, like, you know, out in like Arizona in the dead of summer, just put their, you know, just put it out there to see if they'd move. But no, yeah, you shouldn't be doing that as a standard practice.
So I feel like, you know, we are the, John and I are like the yin yang of bow hunting or archery. It's like, he does everything like by the book. Like, if there was an archery book of like things to do and not to do, and I'm like the exact opposite, and I just use my stuff. And I feel like for me, he always gives me, takes shots at me just like that. But I feel like I'm testing it from the standpoint of a regular person, how, you know, mm-hmm. And so if it stands up to my test, then it's satisfactory, because I feel like anybody, if I can not break it, or if it goes to my, goes through my testing, you know, it's something I can certainly recommend.
Well, that also plays into how we shoot too. Like, 'cause we just got done with our archery league, our winter league, and mm-hmm. I'm shooting for a perfect score every time. And like, as soon as the first miss, and I'm like, oh, got to wait till next week now, you know, yeah. Where I'm not, and it's not any dig on you, you know, you're like, ah, you know.
Yeah. It's a different mindset. I don't, I don't identify with my hunting equipment or my scores. I'm shooting for that one perfect shot, let alone a perfect, you know, so each shot is a new shot, a new opportunity to be perfect. But every week is an opportunity for John to be perfect. So that's the difference. And I you know, I've not shot a clean half, let alone a perfect score shooting. And I think that that's more representative, but I like to hunt more live things than I do to shoot my bow. And I'm really been shooting my bow quite a bit more. And I think that's been one of the things here inside with like the other bear bow that I have, the one that I ordered the other string for, is I've probably shot that, I would say 2,500, 5,000 times in the last 3 months, like trying to like overcome my target panic and everything like that. But that string is like rapidly disintegrating. And you know, it's funny that we John kind of alluded to it, that like on the bear with the ready to hunt stuff. And even like when we were kids, it was that piece of tubing, and we weren't fixing the problem. We were just patching, the symptom. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I think that guys, you know, I mean, and I can remember like even your brother when he had that like Z7 or the Monster or whatever, always having to twist his peep every time. And I thought, man, that's odd, you know. And
that's a habit for some people, even if they don't have a peep problem. It is a habit. I've seen it on ranges. I've seen it at TAC. I've seen it, and sometimes I've seen it our guys, like some of my staff doing it, and I'm like, stop it.
Stop doing it.
Because there's nothing wrong with that peep. And what you're doing, and a lot of people might not know this, there's oils in your fingers and hands, right? So every time you're touching that peep and that, like around that fiber, you're putting oil and stuff on there that's going to, you know, again, it might collect dust. You're putting your kind of abrasion if you got, you know, whatever. You're messing with a very critical part of that string by touching that peep. But I know that for some reason it's a habit. People like to play with that. What I find myself doing is sometimes I'll just mess around. If I clip onto my D loop, I might mess with my D loop just kind of as a twitch. But the thing I always tell people is don't touch around that peep sight. Like, stop it. If you find yourself doing it, like, find a way to stop it. Because in most cases, there's nothing wrong with your peep. It's just like a weird little habit that people like to play with their peep when they're in a shooting sequence.
Well, and I think it's one of those things that you've been burned so many times. You know, when you draw back, and especially like I notice it on that bow for sure. Like I get into the click, and now I'm trying to line up my sight housing and everything like that, and it's, you know, half and half, and I'm like, oh my gosh. So now I got to very gingerly let down. You know, so I don't shoot through the wall in the basement, and
right.
You know, and so I think that that's where it comes in, is over years and years of, you know, being burned by that. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of back to the whole thing with the strings on the cheaper bows and stuff, bow hunters, they would definitely benefit from a better set of strings, because even like their bow is sitting in the case and they pull it out. And say they're shooting fixed blade broadheads. I know the mechanical broadheads have definitely, you know, made it easier for bow hunters, you know, with the tunability. But if your strings are stretching, your cable's stretching, you're not paying attention. And most guys don't. Like, they're not going to get a tape measure out and measure their axle to axle, check their brace height, check their poundage. And if you got a premium set of strings that aren't moving, then your bow is going to stay in tune better, you know, with
absolutely.
these cheaper sets of strings, you know, especially you're keeping it in a car and it's getting hot and the wax is, you know, you're losing that. Your bow is going to, you go to shoot a fixed blade broadhead and you might be a foot off target at that point.
Mm-hmm. And then what happened? I don't know what happened. So you're right. And that's a cool thing. You know, what we try to do here is we try to make a string set that can really fit for anybody's budget or anybody's bow. If you're buying one of those bows, let's say you're buying one of these more economical model bows, you're getting into bow hunting, or you've got a, you know, a kid that wants to get into bow hunting, the chances of you buying a high end, you know, like a Matthews Lift or, you know, a Hoyt RX-8, that's very slim at that point. We want to be able to have a string for everybody to show you the benefit of, like, hey, you're going to have a good string. If it's coming out of ABB, there's a string set really for any level archer, anybody's budget. This year we did change some things on that entry level side, but it's still a better string in most cases than what you're getting in those, you know, some of those economical designs. Now, not to say, and I want to kind of backtrack because I don't want to seem like I'm trashing what manufacturers are doing with their strings. I think they've really upped what they're doing across the board. Most manufacturers have kind of figured out that the string is a little more important. So they're putting a little more emphasis on putting a good string on there to start. But, you know, in most cases, that's where, you know, we'll get sales, a lot of sales on brand new bows because people just like they were burned. Like, so you said they've been burned by something like that happening, or, you know, they just say, hey, I'm just going to put new strings on it right now. And worst case scenario, I can take these off and they're my backups. That's a perfect way to go about it because it could be a good in a backup scenario. It could be good for a starter scenario for all I know, but, that's kind of getting into that, you know, kind of how I see it.
So for you, kind of go through your line then of, you know, the different like price points and the benefits to each, because that's like you said, the sticker shock of like, okay, well, this is going to be, you know, a couple $100 for strings. Well, I already have strings and they're brand new. Like, why would I need them? And then these ones are $200 and these ones are $100. What are we getting? Are we just, and if we get the $100 ones, are we just getting a stock set of strings that's a replacement, or are they better? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So again, I think, you know, we build strings every day. That is our business, and our business isn't to make bad bow strings. As you alluded with America's Best Bow Strings, we do take pride in what we do here. So, we try to simplify it as much as we can by having a good, better, best model. And some of the things that we changed this year kind of, I don't want to say they muddy it, but there are some things that we kind of added to the lineup that have made it a little more easier for people to have access to strings faster, especially in that time frame, the summer time frame, when more people are getting their bows out and checking their equipment and maybe they need to get strings. Maybe they got an amazing draw that they want to have, you know, their equipment is top of the line going into that hunt. So starting out at, and I'll kind of, yeah, I'll start at the economy line, like our kind of our economic line, which would be our 4 series. And 4 series is just, it's a real entry level string set made out of a D97 fiber. It's available only in black. And we did that just because we feel like in most cases, if you're buying something like that, you don't really care too much about what your colors are going to be. You just want something that's going to be an upgrade that you can have a feel for what a bowstring can do for you if you're getting into archery or you need something to replace it real quick. So you got the 4 series there. It comes with a 6-month warranty against peep rotation, serving separation, and creep. And then that's also available in Force X for crossbow models. Very much the same thing. It's a D97 fiber that you can get, you know, for, again, like I was shooting a Horton Dakota SL. That's probably a string that would work just fine for that crossbow, you know, in that application. Bumping up to the midline, which is our premium Ultra series. That's our better model, as we would call it. And so that's made out of a 452X low wax fiber. It's totally customizable as far as the colors. You can do a 2-color twist, you can do a solid twist, you can change your serving colors. That string set is a great, I look at that set as like kind of, that's the one that we started with. And that's the most trusted string that we have. Like, it's just like old reliable. You can consistently go to a premium set and it's for bow hunters. You can use it as a target archer. You can really get a good feeling for what a good custom bow string can do for you. That one's going to have a 1-year warranty against peep rotation, serving separation, and creep. Premium Ultra also comes in on Premium Ultra Camo and Premium Ultra Black for this year. And Ultra Camo is with our own blended color that we call Trailhead Camo. It is a kiwi gunmetal and I believe a buckskin tricolor to kind of just match a lot of different camo finishes or however you want to go about it. But we work with BCY on getting that particular blend together. So as far as I know, we're the only ones that have it right now. So there's that. And what's cool about Trailhead Camo or with Premium Ultra Camo and our Premium Ultra Black, those are stocked items for the most part. So what we do is we build a whole lot of stock for just various model bows, popular model bows, flagship model bows for the new year. So we build those. So these, they should either go same day as your order, or they'll go, if we have to build it, in 2 to 3 business days. That is our promise on that, on those string sets. Because we can build them in runs and get them out the door faster. So those are going to be key for us, we think, this year. Well, we kind of launched this. We did a series last year called Platinum Black that did very well for us, especially in that July through September months, that somebody just needed a string set. They wanted a new string set, or they had an accident. They needed something quick. And most bowstring manufacturers, including us, are going to be out on the custom side. Like, it might take a couple weeks at that point to get a string set built and out to you, where this is here. It's on our wall. And if it's not on our wall, we're going to fast track it and get you in 2 to 3 days. And then at the top end is our new string set that we launched this year. It's called Launch. That's our Launch series. That's made with our 452XE fiber. That is a base BCY 452X low wax fiber. And the E is what we call an enhancement. And for that enhancement, what we did is we took that fiber and just through some various processes that we had our engineering team check out, we found that we could get more durability and better, more abrasion resistance on that string set, specifically for bow hunters or 3D archers that may be out in the elements, and that, you know, your strings might hit some shrubbery. It might, you know, you might row up against some bark when you're getting into a tree stand, you're pulling it up. But we wanted to find a way to make a bowstring more durable, kind of bulletproof a string set. Because again, like you kind of alluded to, is there's only so far you can go with performance. It is how far can you push that with the materials that are made available. And so for us, we thought, hey, we can make this string more durable. And I do believe that we did that with the Launch series. Launch is totally customizable. Again, you can get your different color twists, your serving colors. New for us this year is we are allowing the center serving. We used to never do custom center serving colors. We're doing that this year. That's included, as well as you can select from, I think, like 10 different colors of custom heat shrink. So if your bow has speed knocks on there, you can put a different color heat shrink on there if you'd like. Kind of just making it more customizable, more to your, you know, what you like as far as colors and how you want to do. That is where that Launch comes in. And that has a 2-year warranty, because we do believe in that string set so much that it's going to hold up, that we put a 2-year warranty of peep rotation, serving separation, and creep on there. So that one we're really proud of. And Launch also has Launch X, which is for crossbow models. That's the high-end crossbow model that we offer. So for a lot of these more aggressive, very performance-driven crossbows that are out on the market today, that is the string set that you would want to go with for that bow.
So, John, that's what I was saying. Like, when I came back and I'm like, and I told Brian there at ABB, ATA, I'm like, it's just going to sound like smoke and mirrors. Like, how do you, I mean, I know you can't give away all your processes and stuff like that, but, you know, and then I guess, like, to that point, right? The proof is kind of in the pudding with the warranty and all that stuff. So what is the warranty process? Do I just need to take a picture and have my peep twisted and say, all right, it's been a year and a half, I'm due for a new string, I just want a new one? Or, you know, like I say, what's the warranty process on something like that?
So it's fairly easy. While I would say, you know, it's got to be a manufacturer's defect, and we're pretty good at deciding what's a manufacturer's defect versus what is something that may have happened that you know, an end consumer may have caused, or, you know, we have a pretty good grasp on that. But as far as the warranty, if you're having an issue with something, the biggest thing is get on the horn with us or send us an email. And then we'll be in communication as quickly as possible. I mean, we try to get warranty claims taken care of within a day. And get them. If it is a true warranty, we're going to probably have that out the door in 2 days. But yeah, we'll ask for a photo. If it's like serving separation, we'll just say, hey, can you send us a picture of what that looks like? Because for us, then we can put that on a file, and then we can show our team, our production team, of where that happened. What is the issue? Let's make sure that we're keeping an eye on that, so it's not happening anymore. Which has been great, because we've really been doing a great job the last couple of years of really tracking all of our warranties. And what we found is we have been able to eliminate a lot of the problems and reduce the percentages of warranties going out the door. in most cases, I can't get a picture of peep rotation, really, because that's in a draw cycle. I would have to physically be right there or have a video of what peep rotation is happening. So in most cases, we'll talk to you, we'll ask what it's doing. If it sounds like it's true peep rotation, we're going to get that taken care of. We may ask you to try one or two things just to see if that corrects it first. And then again, if your poundage is, if you're losing poundage, you're having stretching, that's something typically you're going to either lose speed or you're going to tell us your poundage went way down. And we're going to get that taken care of just through conversation. So it's really not, while it's not like truly hassle-free where you can call and say, hey, I got a problem, you know, send me a new one. We're going to ask maybe a couple questions, maybe ask for a photo and get you moving as quickly as possible on that. Like I said, we really pride ourselves on getting that taken care of because we don't want somebody to have to wait around if they're having an issue. You pay good money for this stuff. We want to get you taken care of.
So one quick question on that. Have you guys had issues with the Matthews series, like the V3X, the Phase 4, and the new lift? Like
for poundage?
Not poundage, but every okay. time on the cable where it comes around that sharp point.
The bend?
Yep. Where it, before
for separation?
Yeah. Like yeah. factory
yeah, strings. So that was a problem. It was a big problem. It was one of our biggest problems, to be completely honest and transparent. It was one of our biggest problems. And honestly, Matthews string sets are probably the most, like, we build the most string sets for Matthews model bows, specifically from basically, I'd say from the Tri-X, almost the Vertix on, like, newer. Like, we're building a ton of Matthews sets. And that was a big issue. We were having serving separation there. And if they give you very little room to get that connection to be perfect. We really took that to heart going into this year. Through last year, we were trying some different things with serving and materials and just really trying to get that figured out. And with the launch set, you know, we kind of, when we were, you know, trying to figure out stuff with launch before it came out, like its prototypes, what we found is we were able to slim up that connection. We really found a way to slim up that connection, and our team has done a great job of getting that problem fixed. So I would say in most cases, we probably eliminated most of that issue. I mean, again, you might still have it every now and again. We're hoping that's not the case, but we believe that we got that fixed and corrected with this. We call it like a micro serve. So we're micro serving that little connection that goes around that bed.
Yeah.
Bend.
Yeah, because I built several sets for, actually it was for a couple of our buddies, and then same thing every time, and I'd changed, you know, I'm using the Halo and, you know, trying, and it was just a nightmare. And then even, you know, so then the bow I shoot right now, the V3X factory strings, I mean, within a week it already had separation right there. And then I ordered a set because I haven't had time to build, and it was from a different company, and that lasted a little longer, but you know, there's like a quarter inch, you know, gap in the serving right there. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Matter of fact, one of our buddies just sent me a picture of his Phase 4. He's like, is this going to be okay? I'm like, that happens on every Matthews bow. Like it right there yeah. is a problem because the way yeah. it goes around that cam, it's just an issue.
Yeah. But yeah, it was definitely something that was enough to raise a flag for us to go, we've got to figure a better way to do this. Like, I know that it might be a little difficult to figure out because we make a pretty good serving connection there, but we have to try to figure it out to be better because they've kind of left us very little room for error. And that's where we kind of came in with that micro serve.
So what material do you guys use for your servings? Are you using the Halo?
So on the end servings, we're using Halo. I think we slimmed up the diameter to a 14,000th, I think. And I know we've dabbled with doing some different stuff with Power Grip. I'm for the most part, yeah, we're using Halo, but we've played with different materials just to see what it does. I know most recently we were messing around with some Power Grip on some end servings for some prototype stuff, but Halo is kind of proven to be the best servo material out there, most durable and holds and looks. It really is kind of the total package.
Yeah, I've used both. I've used a bunch of Power Grip, but pretty much lately, when I was building, was the Halo. Mm-hmm.
So, one of the things that you had, one of the tools, and I've seen it on social media a couple times, but it was good to see. When you were talking about the 452XE or whatever, was your boards with the shot numbers on them. And so I'll get that photo from you and we'll use it for the podcast. But can you just kind of talk about like what you were showcasing there, like the difference in the amount of the shots and the difference in what the strings looked like?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you want to be able to show something, you know, how is this different from, say, our prior model and what we were doing before? How is this really different? What is it? You know, what are you seeing? How is it? And so we came up with a little torture test where we took a string, we just made a string, you know, we made a platinum string that was a 452X with a higher wax content to it. And we had that on there and we had a, we call a site, you know, it was a cycle test machine, which was kind of like a specialty jig that was, had a pretty gnarly piece of leather. Everything was probably maybe, I want to say like an inch plus thick. And it just was just going, you know, slapping this string, just beating this string over and over and over and over again. 165,000 cycles was on that string. And then we took our launch string and did the same thing. We hooked it up, had it set, and just let that thing go, 165,000 cycle tests. So what we showed was where that leather, we strung the strings out on a board, we took it to the show, and you can see visibly, you can see that where the platinum string was, you know, the 452X fiber versus the launch 452XE. And in most cases, I mean, everybody, you could clearly visibly see that there was so much more abrasion and just like beat up part of the string, fraying and just discoloration. And you could see all that. Whereas the launch series, I mean, you may have had a couple fiber frays, but I mean, it was a real night and day difference between the durability of what you were seeing on that string versus that launch string. So that was kind of our way to show people, this is what it's capable of. I mean, we took some video of it from here at the factory as we were doing that. But that was really the way that we could show people that durability and the abrasion resistance with this launch set. That's what we were able to show.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I think, is there anything that we missed when it comes down to strings or anything like that?
There's a big question that I know a lot of people ask. This is probably the most popular question when it comes to bow strings is, you know, what way do you twist your strings? So here at America's Best Bowstrings, we twist our strings in a counterclockwise rotation, which in pretty much every case on a counterclockwise twisted string, it's going to cast your arrow in a clockwise rotation. It's basically the opposite of what your string is twisted. That has been a question that has been asked so many times over the last year that if I had, you know, a nickel for every time it was asked, I'd probably have at least probably a couple hundred bucks by now. which is telling me that more people are interested in kind of breaking down what a string can do and how it reacts and you know, different things like that. So going back to it, why we see the counterclockwise twist is if we took a fiber or a spool of fiber from BCY and we walked it 10 yards or 20 yards or whatever, we just took that piece of fiber and we snip it off of the spool, what we're finding is that the fiber's natural rotation on a single strand, it tends to go in a counterclockwise rotation. So that's why we twist in a counterclockwise method, is to go with that natural twist where that fiber wants to twist counterclockwise, which is why we do that. And everything that we set up is why that is twisted that way, causing your arrow to cast in a right helical rotation. So that's one that I figured I'd bring up, because a lot of people ask about it. So I figured it's good to just kind of get it out there so more people can hear that if they're curious, that we do twist in a counterclockwise rotation, which does cast in a right or clockwise, cast your arrow clockwise rotation.
Awesome. Awesome.
Good. The bow question?
Yeah. I mean, John hasn't been so here long. Forever.
So the one question I used to always ask is, what bow are you shooting? What's your current setup?
So I'm shooting a Prime Inline 3. Which is an incredible bow. I love that bow. I've shot various different manufacturers and models, since that first bow that I got. But I shoot the Prime Inline 3. As far as my strings, I have to get my order in for a new set of launch. I'm kind of being a procrastinator on that, but I've had a heck of a time figuring out what colorways I want to go with. I kind of I finally got that figured out. So I'm gonna get some launch strings on there. I believe I'm gonna go with a speckle white gunmetal twist, probably with a gunmetal serve on there, kind of keep it a little low key. But as far as the rest of it, I've got shrewd bars. I'm shooting Easton 6.5 bow 100 max grade arrows. I kind of like the Lincoln log style arrow coming off the string there. Let's see what else is. A Hamsky primer rest, and on the tips of those arrows you've got our Helix broadheads. So I'm shooting I shot last fall the FJ4 100 grain, which is our four blade option on the Helix side of things.
One quick question: when you're talking about your arrows coming off the string, how tell people how critical it is the serving size for your knock. Do you get, when you guys are building a set of strings, is that one of the questions that people should be asking?
So yeah, I mean, it's a good thing to point out is that we can make that center serving to whatever knock you're fitting, or, you know, you're shooting, because it is important. Because if it's too tight, you're gonna have a bad launch. If it's too loose, you don't want it, you know, obviously you don't want it moving around and slipping around. We want to try to get as perfect of a fit as we can on that center serving, because it is pretty vital to true accurate arrow flight. And so yes, you can request or tell us what knock you're shooting, and we have a chart that we can break that down and get the correct size. Sometimes you might not know what knock you're shooting. You can always give us a call and we can kind of break down what arrow you're shooting and or maybe even ask for a photo and verify that. But in most cases, our general spec, so if you don't tell us, it's going to be between a 109 and 110 diameter on that center serving, which is pretty much most knock fitment. Most of the common knocks are in that knock fitment, but yeah, if you're shooting, whatever you're shooting, you could tell us and we'll get that to the perfect fit for you.
Yeah, we'll have to get you back on here and talk about the Helix broadheads. We killed a bunch of deer with them, and you know, I kind of showed you, we had some great success with the broadheads, and then we had some a little bit of issue here and there, and we kind of talked through that. And but like the 150s that you sent, like the guy that was shooting deer with those said it was his favorite broadhead. I mean, he was doing a 10 for 10, you know, shooting 10 different broadheads, going to shoot 10 deer with 10 different broadheads. And that one was the one, that he was going full bore with. So, that was great. But yeah, so if people have questions or, you know, what's the best way if they're going to order a string? I mean, obviously you can go online, you can do the string builder, but what's the best way would you recommend for somebody to get a hold of you?
I like to drive people to the pro shops. I mean, always, if you got a good pro shop around you, go to your pro shop. And if you're interested in trying us out, let them know. If for some reason they don't carry us and you're kind of, you know, wanting to look at that route, obviously we have our website, which is americasbestbowstrings.com. That's the hub. That's everything we do there is, you're going to have the builder. You can design your strings there. Look at the different color options. You can see if we have something, you know, that may be a quick ship item that you can save a couple bucks on. So certainly you can always check out the website. But we certainly do like to, you know, we like to send people into pro shops as well, because pro shops are a big part of what we do in this industry and very important. And they are they can have, you know, knowledgeable. They're most of the people working in these pro shops, they're very knowledgeable in what they do. They've been around for a while and they're not going to steer you wrong. So yeah, check out a pro shop, or you can check us out again at americasbestbowstrings.com. If you have any questions, you can always look us up on our phone number as well. We'll answer that phone as long as, you know, there's one of us here to answer it. We're going to answer that phone and there's no dumb questions. There's nothing that, you know, don't be afraid to give us a call. We'll sit here and talk to you and get you whatever you may need.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate the time and, you know, thank you, sir.
No, thank you very much for having me on, guys. I greatly appreciate it. I hope you guys have rest of your good day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.